saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. I still got a few texts coming in. We'll try to get those before the conclusion of the program. But if you want to interact, it is the text line, and it is 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the program, first time on the Jeff Poor Show with him. Glad we can make, he can make time for us from the Alabama State House this morning, of ALCAP at Priority Talk Radio. If you're ever in Birmingham or Huntsville, make sure you check it out. But Greg Davis on the line with us. Greg, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great, Jeff. An honor to be with you, my friend. Thank you.
Well, the honor's all ours, I promise you. Well, give us the lay of the land. I mean, speaking for myself here, they cannot sign a die fast enough. But there's still business going on. What's going on there in the State House?
Well, I've been there all morning long, and both are filibustering, quite honestly, the House and the Senate. You know, Jeff, you're at the State House enough to know you can hear rumors about anything and why anything's happening, especially when it comes down to the last day, and especially when you still got gambling sitting in the basket in the Senate. But it's my honor to be at the State House every day representing our churches from all across the state of Alabama with ALCAP. And so I get to be there and then, you know, be on the radio as well and be able to kind of inform people as to what's happening. But the House had some filibustering this morning. They're currently working on the Education Trust Fund budget to get it passed. Of course, there's been a lot of talk about how much bigger the trust fund could be if they just passed gambling legislation. Then, like the Education Trust Fund's not been growing fast enough over the last 5 or 6 years. In the Senate, Roger Smitherman has pretty well held down the mic from the very first move. And I believe he's got it held down over 3 or 4 bills in particular that he and I think our Democrat friends do not appreciate. One of those is the Susan DeVos, April Weaver bill of what is a woman that would legally define men and women. It would codify it. When you come to hospitals or prisons, issues like this, people need to know if you're a man or a woman. So they don't like that one. And also we've got the bill from Chris Sells, Representative Sells, that Clyde Chambliss is carrying in the Senate that would require cell phone manufacturers to turn on the filters, the mature content, the porn filter. Every phone has a filter on it, but they come turned off. And so we're saying for minors, let's turn those phones on. When a phone is being bought for a minor, let's turn the filter on and make the parents put in a password so the kids won't stumble across pornography. It'll find them, So that's another one that's deemed controversial by representatives from all of your cell phone and phone people, AT&T, to all of them. I was talking to an AT&T representative this morning. They opposed the bill. Then the other bill is from Representative DeVos as well that would, and Senator Shea Shelnut, that would change the sex ed standards in our public schools. As you know, there's a lot of really, a lot of bad stuff taught through sex education in some of our schools, and we feel like we ought to tighten that up and make sure that things that are taught represent Alabama values. So I really believe that that's what's got it held up this morning of those bills. Jeff, of course, everything, gambling has a cloud over the whole session. So, who knows if it's tied into gambling as well.
Greg, and I should have done this at the very get-go, but for our listeners, ALCAP, kind of explain what your organization does is.
Yeah, ALCAP's been around since 1937, been active at the State House since the late 70s. A man by the name of Dr. Dan Ireland was pretty legendary, 30 years in the position. Dr. Joe Godfrey followed him for 15 years. And we're supported by local churches all across the state of Alabama. We represent thousands of churches. here. We minister at the State House. Just this morning, we had our final prayer breakfast. We host that every Thursday morning during the legislative session. We have dozens and dozens of people from the State House that are involved. We also have Supreme Court justices, executive branch members come to our prayer breakfast every single week. And then we get involved on some of the issues as well that are most important to our churches. And those are issues, you know, like pro-life legislation, religious liberty, you know, marriage and family issues. And then what I call just destructive addictive behaviors, to limit the availability of such acts. And that would be things like alcohol, drugs, pornography, and gambling, of course, which is highly, highly addictive. And is now, you know, the American Psychiatric Association just, the last couple of years has reclassified gambling addiction. It's the same addiction as opioids. It is the way it affects the brain. Highly addictive. So we work against those things, and we work for those other things.
Greg, let's get into the gambling discussion, since that is, like you said, the cloud hanging over the legislature. But have you been watching this gambit of the Alabama legislature? And what it looks like to me is the real division here is it's House versus Senate. I mean, historically we've had North versus South, Republican versus Democrat, but the fact that the vote didn't go a certain way, I mean, you are seeing House members retaliate. And then there's an added dimension to this, and even well on the Democrat side, Greg, the Smitherman has gotten sideways with some of the Democrats downstairs. You really have that seems to be where the schism is and why things really aren't moving today.
Well, you know, you can hear that gambling is dead completely. It's not going to be brought up. Then when people start filibustering, then people start saying, well, they're filibustering because they're still working on the numbers, still working on the count. And I'm sure there are those that are doing it. I'll tell you this, the pro-gambling lobbyists, they're still all in the building today. I can promise you that. They're everywhere. So they haven't given up. So it's still there. Yeah, you know, gambling, it just divides. I mean, it really does. It's immoral and it's corrupt. And so there's nothing good comes from it. And so it creates division. And I think it has divided to a great degree, House and Senate, as you said, Republicans and Democrats, and even members within their own caucus. It does seem as though the Senate caucus, you know, those 27 Republican senators, that the caucus has stayed together, 17 of the, 27, voted against gambling, or excuse me, 15 of the 27 voted against gambling. And so that was a majority of the caucus. And I think the caucus has pretty much said, hey, it's dead. You know, the majority of our caucus has spoken. We're not for this. And don't bring it back up. Or, you know, I think the Republicans would probably be filibustering today as well. But of course, coming out of conference report, they could only filibuster for 1 hour. So they couldn't kill the whole day. But I think they've made their motion, their intentions clear. Don't bring it back up. Our caucus has rejected this. So it seems like the Republican caucus hasn't divided them in the Senate.
And it looks like Governor Ivey's sort of dismissed this idea of a special session for gambling. I mean, this is, I never want to count your chickens before they're hatched, but looking at this, Greg, it may be another 3, 4, 5 years before they take another shot at this again.
You hear that? Definitely. I did see where Governor Ivey this morning said, you know, why would I call a special session? I don't think the votes would change. You know, and she's right. I don't think the votes would change on this particular gambling bill, but they could try to change the vote, you know, change the bill and try to get enough votes. The problem is you've discussed at length on your show for so many years is that when you change the bill, you pick up a vote, but you lose two votes, you know, then you change it again, you lose two and you pick up one. It's just, so many people are on so many different sides of this issue that you change one thing and it just changes the whole equation. So that's what makes it so difficult. And honestly, I mean, I'll just be gut level honest. We have people who vote no on gambling for moral reasons. And there's a strong contingency of those guys. They're all Republicans. and they vote no. They're not going to vote for any of it. And we need those guys, and we have to continue to support them and say thank you. But then you've got the others who are kind of flexible. And if it's got this in it or that in it, or if this special interest has got what they want, then I'll vote for it. And unfortunately, one thing gambling produces is greed. And there's a lot of greed, instead of greedlock, we often call this greed lock, G-R-E-E-D lock. Because if the people that stand to benefit from gambling, I mean, the gambling industry, and that's from the lottery to PCI to these pseudo casinos around the state, if they ever just became all a little less greedy and would unite, they probably could pass this thing in about, in the minimum of 5 days and have it as a law. But quite honestly, they're also greedy. They don't want the other, if it's going to be legalized, they don't want the other crowd to cut into their cut of it. And I think that's been the story for a long, long time on gambling. And I think ultimately, that played a huge role last Tuesday night at about 11 o'clock in that Senate vote, which I was there for. And it was quite astounding what went on when you see Greg Allbritton, who has sponsored gambling legislation multiple years and was the sponsor of that bill in the Senate, voting against it. And he voted against it, as he has quite honestly said, because it didn't have anything in it for Poarch Creek Indians. And, that tells you all you need to know. They didn't like the pseudo casinos getting lifted up to full scale casinos. And so the status quo is good with them. And they'll all just kind of keep it the way it is. But the big issue is on gambling, Jeff, before we finish, I know, is we've got to make it a felony to run an illegal operation. It's a misdemeanor. It's worth the risk for a misdemeanor to run one of these operations because of the money that it generates. And then we've got to enforce it. We've got to enforce the law. And we've got to figure out a way to do that. I think it needs to be a campaign issue 2 years from now when we elect a new attorney general, when we elect a new governor, when we elect a new lieutenant governor, most likely, I would think. It's got to be a campaign issue. Who's going to insist and who's going to provide the resources to enforce the law? And that's the problem we've got here in this state is no one enforces the law, or not much anyway. In some of these counties, it's just not being enforced. And that's the issue. And it complicates the issue as far as trying to get a comprehensive gambling package passed, because the people that are doing it illegally at a very small risk of a misdemeanor, they got a good gig going and they don't want it messed up. And so they work against it, legalizing it as well.
Well, Greg, here's something that makes my hair hurt. Whenever I hear the people just want the right to vote on a lottery, look, you're not voting on a lottery. You're voting on a constitutional amendment to take out language that prohibits gambling. And you know who's voting on the lottery? It's not you and I. It's not the people listening to this show. It is the people in the Alabama legislature who are not only going to vote for a lottery, they're going to vote for casino gambling or this weird video gaming that the state programs the machines or, the sports books or what, they're the ones who are the decision makers. This is not the democracy that the direct democracy that is being made out to be. I mean, it just drives me crazy whenever I hear that.
No, you're absolutely right. And here is the point blank truth. And I had this discussion with Poarch Creek Indian representatives Tuesday. Because they asked me, they said, hey, are you okay with just a straight lottery? And I said, well, that's a loaded question because you can't really have that. Because the truth is, once if you vote on a lottery, even if there's nothing else attached to it, it's just a lottery. If Alabama approves a lottery, you automatically give the Poarch Creek Indians at their facilities Class 3 casinos. And right now we have no Class 3 casinos. And automatically they get Class 3. I mean, you're not going to vote on it. It's not going to be part of the ballot. It's not going to be part of the language. They get the same a lottery as Class 3. And so that means they would be able to do Class 3 on any of their facilities. So when you vote on a lottery, you're voting on Class 3 gaming in this state, for Class 3 gambling. And then once they get it, of course, then you've got to let these other places have it as well, because Poarch Creek doesn't even pay, they don't even pay taxes. So now you're like, now we're losing money would be the argument. And so then you've got to give it to those other 7 or 8 pseudo locations so the state can benefit from Class 3 gambling in some form or fashion. So there is no way to, the way things stand now, there is no way to vote on a clean, straight lottery. And if somebody tells you that it is, they're just uninformed.
And the idea that we would ever, and we'll wrap it up on this, the idea that you would ever get that opportunity is so far-fetched. You're never going to get a chance, because people say, well, I just want to vote on a clean lottery. Can't we have that? But in this political environment, the way this Alabama legislature is constructed and the way they have tackled this issue, or tried to tackle it, I should say, over and over again, the people in the state, look, guys, they will not just give you the opportunity to vote on a clean lottery. It's going to have a lot of things, a lot of strings attached to it.
That's exactly right. And even if they did give you a clean lottery, it also equals Class 3 at the PCI locations. And then the rest of it follows from there. So it's a complicated issue. And the reason it's complicated is because of all the local constitutional amendments and Green and Houston and Macon and Jefferson. You've got all these local constitutional in Mobile. You've got all these constitutional amendments that allow certain things in certain counties, and that just absolutely muddies the water. And the legislature did that. And my guess is they're probably going to continue to do it as well, and double and triple down on what's got us in this position that we're already in right now.
Hey, Greg, folks want to find out more about your organization or whatever, follow you, your radio show. How can they do so?
Yeah, just ALCAP, ALCAP.com, or PriorityTalkRadio.com. And you can follow me at the State House on Twitter, just ALCAP Greg, ALCAPGREG. I'm out there, and we sure do appreciate the support of the churches in Mobile and Baldwin County and that part of the state. We have a lot of partners down there, and we're very thankful for the good people down there that allow us to be here and represent them each and every day at the Alabama Legislature.
Greg Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Greg, thanks for making time. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Every gambler knows.